Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast as we roll through summer months as we're officially in the offseason. Stanley Cup's over, and we are on episode 222 as we await this week's NHL awards show and draft. Should be a big week in the National Hockey League. And Blake, boy, I went to a Twins game this week.
Against Red Sox?
Yeah, and it was boring as all hell.
What was the score?
8-2, I think.
Oh, the one yesterday?
No, on Monday. The one on Monday. The Twins got beat, like, throttled all week long.
Yeah. So do you notice though, like, how fast the game is now? Like,
it's live. And when I say it was boring, I mean just because, like, I felt like there was no chance the Twins were ever coming back in that game. But the sheer speed of the game was so much improved, so much better to watch. It was a lot better to watch.
Like, you don't notice it. Like, you notice it on TV, it's quick because they got, like, commercial or, like, replays and whatnot. But, like, you're at the game live, and, like previous years, you'd be like, you can go on your phone, like, in between pitches, like, scroll Twitter, whatnot. Now it's like 10 seconds, you're like, here comes the next pitch. Like, and it's quick.
One of the things I noticed even more so than that was that now you only get 5 trips to the mound. They're 20 seconds each. Like,
yeah,
it's not that bullshit where everybody, I still don't understand why in baseball, why does everybody in the infield have to come in now?
Well, they usually don't. Usually it's just like the pitching coach and the catcher. Sometimes like a third base will
The full infield every time at this game. I'm like, what are they talking about? Are they like picking where they're going to eat tonight? Or I
don't know.
They changed
the limit. It's 5. 4 years ago, I think, to 5.
But now they time it, like, though, too.
Years. Yeah, it's like it's 2.5 hours to 3 hours now. It's great. It's probably the best thing baseball's ever done. And, it's I noticed it a lot, too.
I'm hoping we get through the show tonight. Blake's internet looks like it's on board the frickin' sunken Titanic tonight. But
I don't know what it's going on.
At least
I'm not frozen anymore. I can see you talking. Oh.
It's just, yeah, man, we're on episode 222 here. We don't usually have these problems, but tonight it's completely out of our hands tonight. Let's get going. We got a lot to talk about. I do want to talk about one thing first before we get going. I watched the AHL finals last night. Did you watch the Calder Cup finals?
A little bit, like game 7, a little bit, not much.
Last night was game 7, and it was one of the best hockey games I've watched all year.
Mason Morelli.
Yeah, North Dakota kid, doing good. He's a key factor on that Hershey team. He's a key factor. Yeah. Power play, penalty kill, game-winning assist last night. The guy's for real. I mean, he's playing good. Fun to see.
Was he not in Calgary's organization?
Yep, he was the very his first year of pros, he played in Stockton. And then he went to...
I can't remember where he went.
He went somewhere. I'm pretty sure. Well, was he in Stockton 2 years, maybe? And then he went on. Yeah. Maybe he went to Hershey from there. I thought there was someplace in between, though. Maybe I could be wrong. But all in all, he's really playing good hockey in the last year. Really, really good. And last night's game went to overtime. And a game 7 for the finals in overtime, it doesn't get any better. It just doesn't get any better.
No, definitely not.
You see the odds for next year's Stanley Cup are already out?
I did not look. I saw they got released, but I did not look.
You want to know who do you think
the least likely favorite is? Probably.
Oh, the favorite's easy.
Either Colorado, Toronto, or Edmonton.
Colorado is the favorite. Edmonton and Toronto are second and third.
Yeah.
The least favorite team to win is Anaheim Ducks. Probably would agree with that, huh?
Yeah, they're slowly building that program back up.
Yeah, slowly. really slow. I almost think Philadelphia is going to be worse this year. I do.
Hey, but Philadelphia is going to go losing in style this year, though. They're going to go losing in style.
What do you mean by that?
Did you not see the new jerseys?
They can't came out see with? The difference. What's different on them?
No. It's the old logo. It's the old style. They brought back the old like jerseys. Good, I like them.
They don't look a lot different than any of the other years I've ever seen.
Blacks are the same, but those in the Lindros days, they went back to that kind of style.
You know what I saw today? I just saw it a couple hours ago. One of the best things I've seen all year. The league is not allowing any jerseys next year. There's no any jerseys next year for any groups at all.
That's good.
That's a good thing because then you're not making anybody mad. Let's just worry about hockey.
Now the NHL kind of got ahead of itself. Nobody's going to be missing, skipping warmups, and nobody's going to be like they just got rid of it all. They controlled the issue.
It's good.
No hiccups at that. It's good.
It's good. It's good. All right. Today on the show, we're going to talk NHL Awards. Blake and I will give our selections for some of the key ones, not all of them, the key ones. And then we'll go through the NHL draft, talk a little bit about the prospects, what we think is going to happen at the draft, where we go from there. And then we'll go around the league, talk Canucks buyout, the Wenatchee to the WHL, which I think is a lot bigger news than a lot of people are giving it. And then we'll talk about the class of 2023 in the Hockey Hall of Fame, a big episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast.
Whoa. We're not going to talk about the Calgary Flames here in this episode. You got to add that to your list.
All right away with the award show. And I don't know. I'll roll off some awards and then we will just say who we think's going to win. We don't need to talk a long time about each one of these, but we'll talk about who we think's going to win. Let's start with the Calder Memorial Trophy. And that goes to the most proficient player in his first year of competition. Matty Berniers, Owen Power, and Stuart Skinner are the finalists this year in Nashville at the NHL Awards Show, which is Monday evening. Yeah. Who would you pick for the Calder Memorial?
I was kind of torn with this one. Like,
I wasn't at all.
Skinner really, like, he helped the Oilers get back on track, but I would go with Berniers. Like, I think he is the best rookie. He led the team to the playoffs.
He was by far. Scorer.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I really like Owen Power's year, too. Like, he took a good step. Got a little bit of a taste last year at the end of the year.
But Matty Beniers did not look like a rookie.
No, like, he was really good this year. He was fun to watch.
So this is an award I don't even know why we're even going to talk about this one. The Frank Selke Trophy goes to the forward with the best defensive aspects of the game. Patrice Bergeron, Nico Hischier, and Mitch Marner. Who do you pick? I'm just going to pick Bergeron because...
I'll take Bergeron because it's the Bergeron Trophy.
I'm so sick of this award.
It's... I don't know.
It's the same guys every year. I'm sick of this award. Get rid of this award. Get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, they should just change it to, really, the best center. It's pretty much what it is.
Well, no, like, it's supposed to be the best defensive. Marner's a winger,
but it's mainly centers.
But it's supposed to be the best defensive forward. Like, we're not looking at it's the best defensive forward that scores a lot.
Those are pretty good choices, though. Those are pretty good choices.
They are.
But Bergeron will win, probably.
Bergeron will win for sure. Hart Memorial Trophy, probably the one that most people talk about the most, goes to the player judged to be the most valuable player for their team, which is skewed mostly to the best player in the league, right? But it's not supposed to be that.
So that's what it always does that. But
this year's fine.
You're giving it to the player by the description, it's Matthew Tkachuk. It has to be.
Well, the finalists this year are Connor McDavid, David Pastrnak, and Matthew Tkachuk. And I agree with you. If you go by the definition, it has to be Matthew Tkachuk.
The most valuable player to their
team.
If you take Tkachuk, they are bottom five in the league. I'm serious.
No, they're not even close.
Okay, well, they're definitely not making the playoffs. They're definitely not going to the Stanley Cup final.
No. I agree. I'm not arguing with you on that. I'm just saying they're not that bad.
But the problem is it never goes by that definition. No, which is
none of these awards stupid. Do. That's why the award show makes me mad, because they don't follow what they're it's for. I don't know. I know Connor McDavid will win.
Chuck, personally, obviously, everybody knows McDavid is the best player in the world. Everybody knows that. But
that's for a later trophy here, right? We're going to talk about that one later on.
They literally give, there's a literally a trophy called the Art Ross.
Yeah.
For the player with the most points.
Yeah. Which I don't necessarily mean that's the best player, though.
Oh, hey, we got some breaking news here on the podcast, buddy.
Okay.
What's Mark Savard is assistant coach with the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, I knew that was happening.
They hire him. Nice. That'd be a good hire. Good all gut offensive mind.
Okay. We'll find out. Coaches are a dime a dozen. We'll find out. I also heard that Alex Tanguay was a finalist for that too.
Yeah, that would have been a good one too.
Why do you say that?
I just think he's a really good offensive mind. He's a great offensive player. Obviously, like not every player turns into a good coach, but
no, it's how they relate and teach, and
yeah, I know
it's hard.
Sure.
It's hard to know that.
Yeah, and Savard's been coaching what the OHL for last 6 years?
I believe 6 or 7. Yes.
So
let's piggyback that into the Jack Adams, and that's for the coach who's contributed to the most of his team's success. The finalists this year, Dave Hackstall, Jim Montgomery of Boston, and Lindy Ruff of the Devils. I have my pick, and I think it'll be different than who wins it.
Okay, I hope they don't give it to Jim Montgomery.
They will.
As good as of season they had.
They will.
As good as season they had, it should be going to Lindy Ruff. This team was third last year, and they literally were second in or third in the East or something, whatever.
But you could also lay down an argument for Dave Hackstall, even.
Sure you could. Sure you could.
Absolutely. You really could. I mean, I think all of these are worthy candidates.
It should not go to Jim Montgomery.
It will. I can guarantee you.
Like it's like.
But then you know what? That's good news, Blake. You know that's good news, because then that means Boston's not going to be good next year.
Yeah, Jim Montgomery will be getting fired next year.
That's how it goes every year, right?
I would give it to Lindy, but
I hope
you're probably right. It probably will go to Jim Montgomery.
I hope Hackstall wins it. I hope Hacksaw wins it, so then he gets canned next year when they suck, and then our team has a fighting chance of making the playoffs. Right? I don't know. Yep. It'll be interesting. I think all three, honestly, on that are worthy candidates. As we continue the complaining on the award show, the Norris Trophy goes to the best defensive player who demonstrates throughout the season the greatest all-around ability in the position, which completely is not who was picked for this trophy.
Erik Karlsson is going to win the award, and he is one of the worst defensemen in the league. He was hands a minus down. 45, and he had 100 points.
He doesn't even try on defense. That's how bad it is.
It's like how are you going to give this to the best defenseman? Just make a trophy.
For the most defenseman with
With the most points.
Yes, but that doesn't make you the best defenseman.
A separate trophy for the best D-man.
Yes.
Come on, what are we doing?
It's brutal, because he's going to win this award for sure.
Win it. It's going to be unanimous, probably.
And I don't know what you think. He had a difficult year this year because of a lot of different things. But I think, all in all, Cale Makar is the best defenseman in the league.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he has offensive talent.
Well, he had three concussions. That kind of concerns me a little bit.
For the future, it really concerns me. But he can do both, though. He can do everything.
He can go end to end. Don't get me wrong. Offensively, Carlson's a great defenseman. But in his own end, he's atrocious.
You could put a left wing on defenseman and have him score a shit ton of points, and he does the same defensive as Carlson.
Yeah, it's not good.
All right, Lady Bing Memorial Trophy goes to the player that has exhibited the best type of sportsmanship and gentlemanly conduct, combined with a high standard of playing ability. The finalists this year, Jack Hughes, Anze Kopitar, and Braden Point.
I'll go with Kopitar on this one.
That's what I was thinking too.
I think he's just a class act.
He had a really good year. He drug that team back into it this year. And I look for bigger and better things out of the Los Angeles Kings.
We talk about it every year. They have all these picks and prospects and Like, when are they? What are they going to do with him? I mean, they obviously got rid of Cal Peterson and they got rid of Dursey, and or we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, they got a lot of good young talent.
Ted Lindsay Award, which goes to, what does this one go to? The most outstanding player in the National Hockey League, voted on by the National Hockey League Players Association. Eric Karlsson, Connor McDavid, and David Pastrnak are up for the award.
This should just be called the Connor McDavid Award.
Well, that's who's going to win, right?
He's going to get voted every year for it.
That's right.
Just change the name. Connor McDavid Award. Every year.
The final award we're talking about is the Vezina Trophy, which goes to the goaltender proven to be the best at his position. This year's finalists, Connor Hellebuck, Ilya Sorokin, and Linus Ullmark.
Yeah, this is the easiest one. It's going to be Ullmark. He was unbelievable. I mean,
yeah,
the season that he had. He even scored a goal this year against Mike Canucks. So,
He
should win this unanimously, to be honest.
He had a really good... I mean, I still like Sorokin. I think he's just so underrated and does a good job each and every year. But
what are they going to do with him? He's going to get a big ticket, okay? They got to pay him next year.
You know, I don't think you're going to see goalies get huge tickets anymore.
Well, okay, so, like...
I don't.
Hellebuck. Like, there's no way... Like, I am dead. I've been dead set, right? You don't pay your goalies 10 mil, 9 mil, 8 mil. Like, that doesn't work, man.
I think 6.5 to 7.5 is a good number.
Yeah, like that's a, yeah, anywhere from 5 to 7.5 mil. That's probably my range.
You're never going to have the elite of the elite.
I'll give Vasilevskiy 8.5.
But you're never going to have the elite of the elite. But I don't know that you need that. I think you need a good combo, right? I do. I believe you need a good combo.
Like, if you can get your tandem, like, 8 mil combined, I think that's, like, the number for a tandem. You know what I mean?
8 or 9.
Yeah. Like, somewhere around there.
Eight or nine.
I don't know. I give it to Ullmark, though. I think he's been the best goalie this year.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk NHL draft, as that takes place next Wednesday. It would be round one. Next Thursday, rounds 2 through 7. That also taking place in Nashville in the Blackhawks. Headline number one pick, followed by Anaheim, Columbus, San Jose, and Montreal.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, this is a shoe-in. Connor Bedard from the Regina Pats will be the number one pick. Number two, I would believe, would be Adam Fantilli from Michigan. Then I think it's a little bit more unknown.
No, it's not. It ain't unknown at all.
Well, who's number three then?
Leo Carlson's going number three.
I would guess Leo
Carlson might even go number two.
He might be. He's an Anze Kopitar type player.
Like, he's 6'3", 200 pounds, center. He's, man, Columbus isn't... I'm telling you, my idea from last week might not be that far off anymore. It might not be that crazy now. Elias Lindholm for the third overall pick might not sound that crazy anymore.
I don't know.
Lindholm doesn't want to sign. Toffoli doesn't want to sign. Backlund maybe doesn't want to resign. Doesn't want to resign.
You want to talk about that later or now?
It's up to you. That's a lot of decisions a first time GM's got to make.
So let me ask you this question, right? I got a couple comments on it. I'm not really all that worried about it, to be honest with you.
You're not worried about that?
No. Couple comments.
Those guys don't want to re-sign?
How do we know that?
I mean, that's...
It's
pure speculation.
Saravelli last show, and now you're gonna believe him.
No. Two of those came from Elliot Friedman.
I'm fine with Toffoli going because I don't want to pay him what he's going to want. I don't want to pay him at that age.
And Toffoli, he had a career high in points.
High on him. I am 100%. Totally good with that. Totally good.
Fine with that. It's
Hanifin.
The Lindholm would suck.
But it depends on what he wants. If Lindholm wants $9 million, have a nice day.
Right.
He wants $9 million. I'm not paying Lindholm $9 million.
If I'm Calgary, I don't think that you need a full rebuild. But
you're not full.
We're gonna get back to the draft here in a sec. If Calgary is smart, they cash in on these players. Okay,
if they can get a third pick in NHL, they'll take it.
Listen, if Calgary went to Columbus and said third overall pick for Hanifin, or not for Hanifin, for Lindholm, I think you got to do that. I think you have to do that. And in a deep draft like this, if Calgary can get a couple more first round picks in this draft, that all of a sudden is like you're kind of revamping like your system and like elite talent.
It'd be a quick rebuild.
The 16th overall pick.
Yep.
Say you get the third overall pick and maybe you get a late first for Toffoli. Like all of a sudden you got assets now, right?
Well, and plus you get cap help too, because right now we have to get rid of somebody right now anyways. So,
Calgary might look at this and say, hey, like we got a good team right now, but maybe we take a step back, maybe retool a little bit, get some assets, create some cap space and build further. I don't know.
One of the things that bothers me a little, Blake, and every fan base says this, so I'm not picking on Calgary's fan base, but you know, 3 months ago or two, when we lost and we didn't make the playoffs, right? All the fans in Calgary are screaming for a rebuild, right? Well, now it comes out reportedly, okay? I'm taking all of that with a grain of salt. I'm not saying it's untrue. I'm taking it with a grain of salt, though, that all these guys want to leave, which would in turn mean an accumulation of quite a bit of assets.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be not a rebuild, but it would be a strong retool, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is exactly what the fans were clamoring for the day we missed the playoffs. But now today they're bitching about it. So you know what I've learned about hockey fans? They freaking bitch no matter what. They're going to bitch no matter what.
I just think it's like hockey fans get attached to players. And
that's a problem, right?
No, it is. It's every fan base has that.
But who are we attached to?
I'm slowly getting out of that phase.
Are we really attached to Tyler Toffoli? Like, really?
No, I think like Lindholm and Backlund for me. That would be.
I still think Backlund resigns her.
Could.
I do.
But
he's like, the most likely to.
He's the next captain?
Possibly.
See, I thought...
I think if he re-signs, he is.
Yeah.
Obviously, if he doesn't re-sign, he's not.
So what would be your first priority if you're Craig Conroy?
I would get Hanifin. I would get assets from Hanifin. I would also trade Zadorov and get my assets, because you're selling high on both of them.
But what I'm asking you, like, would you trade, like... for picks like this draft, like would you move quickly?
I think you move for picks, yes, but I also think you need to get some roster players too. So I think you go and you try to get picks for Lindholm. I think you try to get a pick and roster player for Hanifin. I think you get a roster player or a late pick for Toffoli. Backlund, I don't know, I haven't thought about that one. Zadorov, I think you could get a roster player for him.
I wouldn't trade Zadorov.
Why? He's the UFA next year.
Yeah, I would try and bring him back.
So you think Zadorov is going to be as good next year as he was this year? Because I don't.
Well, I mean, 15 goals is hard to repeat.
There you go. So you sell high.
I understand that, but.
But what? We have a good defense without him.
Yeah, but if you get rid of Hanifin and Zadorov, that's two top four D holes there.
Bringing in Shillington backs coming back.
Yeah, sure. Right.
And you resign, and you try to get Stetcher. I don't know if you can, but you try to get Stetcher. Stetcher's a great third defenseman.
Yeah.
Plus, it makes us more cap friendly.
Right.
Calgary
turned into a team that I didn't know what they could do to one of the most fascinating teams to watch this offseason.
But Blake,
overnight.
You know, a lot of people are angry and panicking, and I'm thinking, how can we be angry? If these guys want to leave, that's fine. We weren't winning with them.
Well, and the thing is that would be good for a Flames fan is at least they're like reportedly wanting out with 1 year left instead of walking for nothing.
And you know at what? I don't even know if I believe it all, to be honest with you.
Well, remember when Sutter was there and everybody wanted out and then they rescinded him when he got fired and now we got this news again.
Yeah, so
I don't know.
You know what I mean? It's like I don't know what to believe anymore. I really don't.
Cycling back to the draft, there's a lot of good players. This Zach Benson, he's undersized from Winnipeg. He's going to be a good player. There are a couple good right-handed D.
The most
interesting guy is Michkov.
Yeah, so what happens to him? Because
he's the most interesting guy.
Reportedly, he is not meeting with teams. He wants to go to one team. I'm not sure I know who that is, but no, I think I know.
He wants to go to Washington or Vancouver.
Okay, I heard Washington. I did not hear Vancouver at all. I heard Washington.
Those are the two that I read. I saw multiple.
But would you want to draft a guy like him?
Listen.
Because I don't even know when you're going to get him. Because I heard he has a year of military duty to serve still. And with them being in the war, they're not letting him go.
He's got 3 years of the KHL. So you get him at 21, and when he comes over, you'll be 21 years old. Like steps in top six right away on an ELC, good for the cap.
But when do you get him?
In 3 years.
I know. Do you want to wait 3 years? Plus, he's got to serve military service too.
I don't know. I haven't really read into that. But if you're any of these teams. Anaheim, Columbus, San Jose, Arizona, Philly, you can all wait. All those teams can wait 3 years for him. Like they're not going to be very good in a while. Right?
I think it's a risky pick. I think there's a high reward there.
It's a risky pick, but this guy has the potential to go anywhere from 2 to 12. I don't know where to gauge him on that list, but I think somebody's going to go swinging for him early. Like I think like a San Jose might go after him.
Yeah. Boy, they got a good pick.
It's risky,
though.
But his skill set is off the charts.
Yeah.
It's absolutely off the charts.
Any other players that intrigue you in this draft?
I saw Matt Wood play last year in the BCHL as a 16-year-old. He had 40 goals, 80 points. Big guy, 6'4". Needs a little work on his skating. I like that Axel Sandin Pelika. Braden Yeager's a good little player.
Yeager's a good player. I watched him a lot this year in Moose Jaw. He's a good player.
I watched him too. I've seen him play a couple of times. Andrew Crystal too from Kelowna. Another undersized guy like Zach Benson. Just a gifted forward. Really good scorer. This guy is the guy that they're talking about here. Is Dmitry Shimishev, okay? That 24 teams have reportedly asked to interview him before the draft. 6'4", left-hand D-man, 200 pounds. And I was watching tape on this guy. He's 6'4", and he has edges like Makar. It is insane. Like, he's so gifted skating-wise. And he's projected to go 20 right now, but I think that is going to be the guy that teams, like, do you remember when Seider was supposed to go like 18 and Detroit took him at 6? I think he's this guy for this draft. Like I think teams are gonna swing big for this guy.
Sure,
because he's gonna be a good player.
Gabe Perreault, who played in the United States Hockey League in the National Development Teams, another player that's got some interest. I know.
Yeah. No, it's I'm excited, man. It's gonna be a really good draft. Probably one of the deepest since probably 03. I mean, to be honest.
Probably.
That's hard to live up to because there was a lot of really good players in that draft, even in the second, third, fourth, fifth round. But, I mean, you look at this first round, there's not very many weak players in it.
No. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Round one Wednesday night, round 2 through 7 on Thursday morning. Always fun watching the National Hockey League draft. It is time to now go around the league. All right, let's talk Vancouver Canucks as they buy out Oliver Ekman Larson. They owe him $19.5 million over the next 8 years. I looked at the breakdown, and tell me if I'm wrong on this. Some cap hit is taken on by the Arizona Coyotes, a very minimal amount, like around the $290,000 a year. But as it looks like Vancouver will have a $146,000 cap hit this year, a $2.3 million next year, a $4.7 million for the following 2 years, and then a $2.1 million for four more years after that. That's a long time to have cap hits.
Yep, it is. And I will be honest with you, I was very surprised when I woke up to this news. I thought they would have went a different direction, but obviously they've been trying to clear cap, and this made the most sense. It 100% makes it the most sense. You get $8 million of cap savings this year. You get $7 million a year after that. And supposedly this is the last year of the cap, flat cap world. So say the cap goes up $10 million.
It's not going to go up $10 million.
Listen, I'm saying by year 3 and 4, yep, when those 4.7 cap hits for 2 years,
yep,
the cap might be up $15 million. I don't know.
It might be.
So it doesn't look bad for those 2 years now.
But listen, hear me out.
They had no choice. This is their only option to create cap flexibility for the next couple seasons to improve this team. You can't have a guy paying $7.25 million on your third pair and just getting dominated every time he's on the ice. They were already $3 million over the cap. $2 million over the cap for next year, right? Because they brought in Hronek and they brought in Volt Bevilier. This is I'll tell you what. Canucks fans are terrified. They got cap space now, and in the past they've made bad decisions on July 1st, right? I didn't mind the Mikheyev signing last year, but this team needs to fill holes. They still need a couple more defensemen. They still need a third line center, and they need a backup goalie. The only way to improve team is to get cap flexibility, and this was a quick way of doing it. And as much as I've talk shit about Francesco Aquilini, okay, listen, this guy has forked out money for three coaches the last 2 years.
Well, because he's hired bad.
And now, listen, now he just forked out $20 million for a guy to not play for his team over the next 8 years. I commend him for correcting his mistake. He was the one that approved that deal in the first place. He had to have. And at least he's like, okay, it didn't work out. This is what we're going to do to create some cap flexibility to try and improve this team. And now if they want to go out and get a Barbashev or go out and get a third line center,
Don't go get him.
If you give Barbashev a 6 or 7 year deal on a low AAV, you wouldn't do that?
He won't do it. Why would he do that? He's going to be one of the most sought after guys. Why would he do that?
Yeah, but not many players will give him 7 years.
Somebody's going to overpay the hell out of him.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah. To me, my ideal Canucks offseason would be go out and get a Carson Soucy type D-man to play behind Quinn Hughes on the left side. Go sign a David Kampf to play third line center. It's going to cost you a couple million bucks. And maybe you go down the trade route. But now, this is another good thing that I like about this buyout. I love the fact they did it day one of the window. Okay, now you have $10 million of flexibility at the draft. Okay, say somebody needs to move some money at the draft. Okay, now the Canucks are players for anybody. They're players for a cap dump that maybe somebody doesn't have. Now they're, before, they weren't players in anything. They had no cap space. Now you got all this cap space, and maybe a Ford falls in your lap that a team can't afford anymore. I don't know.
The only scary thing is, last time you guys had cap space, you spent it on Oliver Ekman Larson.
The other regime spent it recklessly every single year, which some of that does concern me. But this new management, they seem like they have a pretty good plan, I think.
Where does Oliver Ekman Larson play this year?
you know what? It would be a total Canucks thing for him to go to Tampa Bay and just 50 points on a $750,000 contract.
I was going to give you a hard time and say the Flames will trade Zadorov, and then there's our third line pairing right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to guess. Well, I mean, Boston and Vancouver were the only two teams on his list, so maybe he goes to Boston on a cheap deal. I'm not sure. That's a team that is in cap hell, too. They have almost $5 million of cap overages and bonuses to pay Bergeron and Krejci.
They're going
to
be in so big trouble.
Maybe the Canucks can go out and get like a Matt Grizzlick type for your second pair or something like that. I don't know. Like that, they're going to have to make a move on the D-man.
The Wenatchee Wild announced that, the Winnipeg Ice announced that they're moving from Winnipeg to Wenatchee, which is not a surprise to me. But then it was announced that the Wenatchee Wild would be the new name, which would be a WHL team, was an existing BCHL team and former North American Hockey League team, and they will now be defunct.
What's happening with that? They're just kicking them out of the league?
They're just not. That franchise is for sale.
So they're not going to relocate them?
Somebody buys them.
Hmm.
That ownership group is not relocating them. The guy that runs runs the Wenatchee Wild, Littler.
Littler.
He's from Minot.
Cade Littler's dad.
Yep. Yeah. He's from Minot. Yeah,
Calgary drafted his son.
Yep.
And
now his son's going to play at the University of North Dakota.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He recommitted to there?
He's going to University of North Dakota.
Oh, because he wasn't committed there last year. Okay, so he must have recommitted. Okay. This is a great spot. This is a great spot for a WHL team. I mean, you have all those teams out west too in that area. Listen, the Wenatchee lighting is a little dark in there, but I love that rink. That atmosphere was great when we played them in the playoffs in the first round when I was in Salmon Arm, and that was a really, really cool atmosphere. It gets really loud in that rink. That's going to be an awesome, awesome market for a Western League team. That's a really good move.
It is going to be really, really good. Hall of Fame class was announced yesterday. And we'll quickly go through the list and share our thoughts on that quickly before we get to three questions. Henrik Lundqvist was the first player named as a goalie. It's a goalie filled here as Henrik Lundqvist goes in. Tom Barrasso and Mike Vernon in goalies. And then Pierre Turgeon in the players. Women's category, say this last name.
Ouellette,
okay. She goes in. Yeah. And then in the builders, Ken Hitchcock, Stanley Cup champion coach in 1991, St. Louis Blues, or not St. Louis Blues, Stanley Cup winning coach in 1999 with the Dallas Stars. And Pierre Lacroix goes in, notable accomplishments, Stanley Cups in 96 and 01. Were there any surprises? Because I had a surprise.
Just listen. What the hell has Alex McGillney got to do to get in the Hall of Fame?
What does Theron Fleury got to do?
Like, Theo Fleury, maybe they don't like his off the ice.
It's irrelevant, though. That has nothing to do with
Theo
this.
Theo Fleury should be a Hall of Famer, but Alex McGillney
should be a Hall of Famer.
To be in the Hall of Fame. Embarrassing how this guy's not in the Hall of Fame.
The whole Hall of Fame to me is slightly embarrassing. I'm a big Mike Vernon fan. My gosh, he won a Stanley Cup in Calgary, but I don't think he's a Hall of Fame goaltender.
No, I looked at his stats. He had I'm not going to talk about stats from the 80s because the equipment was a joke and the nets, you know what I mean. But the offense is high, but like both those guys had save percentages in the 880s.
I don't know. Pierre Turgeon was a good player. I can see where he would get in. Tom Barrasso was probably the best of these three goalies.
No. Hank is by far the best.
Hank won nothing.
It doesn't matter. You know how hard it is to win this league?
He didn't win. That's what I'm telling you. He didn't win.
He went to a cup. I mean, there's... You know how many good players? So, Ginla's not going to be a Hall of Famer?
McGinley's already a Hall of Famer.
So he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, like, you got if you're not going to win, though, you have to be extraordinary. And I never thought
like six all time in wins.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know he won a gold medal too. He won a gold medal.
He's probably top 10 in all time.
I don't know. I don't know. None of them were glaringly like. Yeah,
Lundqvist was a shoo-in, I thought.
Yeah, he probably was. He probably was. I then
the other two, I was like, oh, I don't know.
Pierre Turgeon,
yeah, Olette had a good career, like internationally.
Ken Hitchcock's the most interesting guy I've ever talked to.
Right, he's one of the best coaches of all time.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I wasn't surprised to see him get him, but McGillney needs to be in. It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to do this again, and this time we're actually going to go 2-3 questions upon this.
It's time for 3 questions.
Last week, Blake fired 3 questions at me. This week, I have 3 questions for him. We will cruise through these because, I don't know, our show goes long sometimes. Question number 1. Will there be over 5 or under 5 trades at the NHL draft?
I am hammering the over on this. I am hammering the over.
You think there'll be 5 in the first round?
Like, are we talking player trades or picks?
Player trades. I'm talking... I should have been clear. 5 player trades over or under.
In the whole, not in the first round, but in the whole draft, I think there'll be over 5.
Okay. I hope so. I just worry about with cap. I just it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
Question number 2. Will Aiden Hill be the starting goaltender for the Vegas Golden Knights opening night next season?
It's a good question. It's a fair question. Maybe somebody overpays him in free agency.
Is this not so Edmonton?
This is totally Darcy Kemper 2.0.
This is so Edmonton.
It's just no, Edmonton's not going to do that.
Why not? They can't this year. They already got.
They can't.
They already
gave that guy to Jack Campbell.
Yeah. Question number 3. Will an NHL team sign Patrick Kane this offseason?
Didn't he just get surgery?
Yep.
I think he'll just go back to Chicago. Play with Bedard.
Every report I've heard out of Chicago, though, is saying that, like, as much as they love Toews and Kane, they're moving on. Toews is not going back.
They've already announced that.
Yeah.
But I think, what better way to put people in the seats than have Bedard and Kane on your first line? That'd be great to watch.
Yeah.
And they're gonna need to get wingers around Bedard. Hang him out to dry.
Patrick Kane's the kind of guy though that's gonna be like, no, I want $6 million.
I don't think so. I think he'll sign a 2-year $4 million. He don't need money, man.
I know, but this guy is one of the more
8 years, 10.5.
He's one of the more arrogant guys in the league. Boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
All right, listener question. This is a good one and one that's got me thinking and one that we will talk about through the whole summer. We'll talk about this. Who is this summer's most sought-after UFA? What guy is on the most team's radar after?
It's going to be Barbashev. It's going to be Barbashev.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Barbashev. I mean, the way he played in the playoffs, you need those guys on your team to win. I mean, he can score. He can hit. He's really good in the forecheck. He's fast. He's got a good playmaking ability. That's a coach's dream to have a guy like that on your team.
What's going to happen to Bertuzzi?
I don't know. Like, that's another guy that I think will be on a lot of players or a lot of teams' wish lists.
Yeah.
Because of his size and his finishing ability and stuff like that. Boy, like if Detroit was smart, they would try and get him back.
Yeah. I don't think they will.
They got a first round pick for him. Maybe bring him back because they're on the way. They're on the rise. Like you need, there'll be another good piece for him.
I agree. I think most teams could use a Bertuzzi and love having him on your team. Like he's an impact player, man. I mean, he's in a lot
it's
of.
It is a very, 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 very weak free agent class.
Good, that's good. Because it's very, very, very weak amount of money available this year to give them.
Yeah, I know, but I'm scared the teams are going to overpay for a couple of them.
They do every year, Blake, whether it's strong or weak.
Yeah, I know. So,
is Tyler Bertuzzi not like a poor man's Matthew Tkachuk, though?
Yeah, like a 99-cent Tkachuk, yeah, kind of.
Right? That's the guy I want my team, right?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
But, so next week got the draft, and then Saturday is free agency. So
busy week.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. It'll be good.
Busy week. This will be one of the most highly anticipated drafts ever in my that I can remember. And I think there's going to be a lot of movement, and the anticipation of that movement is exciting for every team. Hockey fans, enjoy your summer. We'll be back after free agency to break down all the happenings with that. Enjoy the break from hockey, I guess. I don't know. I watch Netflix in the summer, but I don't know. We're back in a couple of weeks. Talking Hockey, the Debate Hockey Podcast. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.